So did you grow up in Old Town?
I grew up right here in Decatur. Been here all my life. I was born right up on the hill here in Morgan County.
And so that was in Old Town where you grew up?
It wasn't no town. It was a country. County.
Count, just the county?
County.
Okay.
Well, yeah, in the rural area.
But then you went to high school in Old Town?
Yeah, I went to high school in Old Town.
And so was that Decatur Negro High School?
Yes.
And was that in...
I have a picture of that school someplace.
Do you? Because I don't think I've ever seen a picture of it.
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, I have one. I think I'll find it.
I would love to see that, if you can put your hands on it. Was that the building that later became the elementary school?
Yes, it was all combined, all grades, from the first old to the little kindergarten, first through 12 grades, all in one building.
So you did your whole education there?
Everything, yes.
And is that where you started teaching, too?
My first job was in Moulton, Alabama, first 3 years. I went to Alabama State for 2 years, and then I was certified to teach, after you could start teaching after 2 years. And so I had started there and worked there for 3 years. I got married, and baby was born in 43 in May, and the baby was 6 months old, and I needed a teacher here in Decatur.
And so you came back to teach?
Yeah, I came back. Yeah, I got a job. I was living in Decatur all the while and just come home on weekends. I ride the bus. I rode the bus on a Sunday to Moulton, and would come back on Friday afternoon.
And there was a story I heard about you riding on the bus.
Yes.
Is that story true?
Yes, it's true. I was pregnant, and a bus driver asked me, to get my seat to a white guy man, and so I told him, no, I'm pregnant. I know. So I'm on the back. And so he didn't make an issue out of it because I said they could have done anything. And nobody ever knew what happened to me. I was all in black on the bus.
And were you scared?
Yeah, but a lot of reasons. I said they could have done, could have dumped me on the side of the road and they told any kind of tale. They could have made up, But they were not. He didn't bother. Didn't say it all. No issue was made of it.
And did you ride that same bus again after?
Yes.
And it never came up again, huh?
No.
Now, this was before Rosa Parks?
Oh,
is that
yeah.
Right?
That was in 43.
So... this wasn't somebody else's example you were following. I mean, you were setting the example.
I didn't know I was setting an example. I didn't know anything about what was going on.
You were blazing a trail and didn't even know.
I was innocent. I was just an innocent little country girl.
Well, and then another time, right, you were waiting in line trying to register to vote.
Vote,
and a similar
yeah.
thing happened?
The man that was racing when he got to me. I had one of my friends with me. And so he said, we all use the race of the blacks before the white. I said, I'm next in line. And he repeated himself when he was saying, I will repeat this, say the same thing. And so my friend moved to the back, but I stood there. So finally he decided that, the race of it, so they were using the word, wasn't the black then, it was Negro then. It would have got the race. And when he put black on there, I said, that's okay. I'll see you next in line.
You were still registered to vote.
Yeah, I was still registered. But, yeah, he registered me to vote.
And you voted every time.
I did,
After that.
Yeah, you know, we had to pay what? A poll tax, we had to pay a dollar and a half every year to vote. Everybody was paying a dollar and a half. I think at the time, yeah, it was a dollar and a half for poll tax.
But a dollar and a half was a lot of money, I'm thinking.
Oh, it was, because when I started teaching, I was making $50 a month. And the fact you want to find it, when, after I got married, which is, my husband took the exam and he passed, and so he was the first black mail carrier in Decatur.
Is that right?
Yeah. And he decided, after so many years, it wasn't for long, but anyway, we just had a little lot that we paid $900 for. And we tried to get a loan for $8,000 to build this house.
The house you're in now?
No.
No?
No. It was on Lafayette Street, the street over, two streets over. And the urban renewal came through, and we had to relocate. So they paid us for those houses. And gave us one lot in the value of the house that I was in.
So that was part of the urban removal.
Yeah.
Is that right? So that house is no longer standing.
No. It's over there by AC Banks Park. You know, it's a little park right up the street there.
I do. Yes, ma'am.
Now, that's the park. I was living across the street in front of that park. That's the house was. The house that my husband we built when I was with my husband. And so it was hard to borrow $4,000 to build a house. We tried and tried. So finally, Melvin Hudson, one of the lawyers, his crew, in the meantime, we had paid for the lot. And so I had to take my name and let my husband, because I was still in the childbearing stage. When we did get the loan, after we got the little house, built two bedroom and a bath, and a living room and dining room kitchen, and we separated after about 3 or 4 years after we built the house.
And so you had a...
Gave me the house. I would take the house and the child. I had a little boy. And we had the car, you know, it wasn't paid for it. I said, he said, just give him the car. And so that's how we did that. And so in the meantime, we had a 20-year loan, you know, to pay for the house. $35 a month was my payment. The payments were $35 a month. And we had it loan for 20 years, but I managed to pay it. I paid it out in 15 years. I don't know how I did it, but I did. And in the meantime, I had paid over $8,000 for the house.
Goodness. you worked for that house.
Yeah, I did. And it was a cute little house. One lady came and said she wanted to see it, my house. She said, I heard you built a little dollhouse and you can't get any of your furniture in it. And I said, come right in. So she came in and she looked at me, had hardwood floors. Oh, it was cute. It was a novelty, you know, for people to see a little house like that with the hardwood floors.
What they call a tiny house now.
Yeah,
I guess.
Was a tiny house. She called it a dollhouse.
Dollhouse.
Then you build a dollhouse and couldn't get any of your furniture in it. So we had two bedrooms and a, you know, bath. I would throw it in the living room area, you know, together. And after my husband left me, I was able to build another little room on the back and another half bath. And so left Cotoleto and relocated it.
So you were a homeowner, you were a teacher, and you were a single mother.
Yeah, uh-huh. From then on.
And
54, 51, 2, or 3, when we divorced.
And then you lived in that house for how many years after that?
Yeah, well, and a little house. Oh, I lived a long time. Let's see, like 50, little. What was it when we built? It would be until 80, about 80, 81. 82? Yes, about 82 or 3. We built this one in 83. So it's 82 or 3.
And that house where you are now, I'm thinking close to that, that's where the cottage home infirmary used to be, is that right?
It what?
That house where you are now is really close to where the infirmary used to be?
Yeah, right up the street. Right up the street. On the same side. In the block, just a block from there.
Just a block from you.
It is right on the corner.
So, if we can talk about your teaching career before I lose my train of thought. I got my notes here. I'm trying not to lose my place on the page. And again, if I say something that's not true, you tell me.
Okay.
But
if I say something that it didn't word, you word it correctly for me.
I'm okay.
Old and look, and I lose my thoughts at times.
I understand. I understand.
And so you just keep on doing what you're doing, and the more you talk, the better off you will be here before the public.
The more I talk, okay.
Yeah, and get before the public, and you know, and just keep on standing. Because the more you get before the public, the better, you know, it helps.
If you pretend you know what you're talking about.
I was a little shy because I didn't get before the public, but, you know.
Well, being in front of the classroom full of kids will help you not be shy, I guess.
It doesn't help like get before the public, you know. Public. It doesn't help too much. But some people are just born to do that, but some are not.
Well, was Mr. Hurston the principal?
He was the principal during the time that I finished high school. He was the cause of me being the way I am because my grandparents reared me and they had children. At least her baby was a year older than me. And we were like sisters, but yet it still was a difference of age. And my mother left me with my grandmother. And my brother, she left the two of us, and she wasn't married to my daddy. And she met someone, she went on to Houston, Texas, got married, and forgot about her children.
And your grandparents raised you.
Yeah. And it was a difference. They had children along, you know. Had grandchildren and plus their children. And it made a difference. But yet it's still... When the year that I finished high school, I was the only one in school. And we lived, you're not familiar with Decatur, are you? You know how Spruik's barbecue stand is down Highway 20?
I do, actually. I grew up in Florence, so I'm a little familiar with Decatur.
In Florence, that's why my husband was from Florence.
Oh, really? I'm sorry to dredge that up.
That's okay. I'm going to read that there, you know. I believe it. Now, see, he was tall, handsome, you know, and had this car. And cars were very scarce. And I guess it started teaching, my second year of teaching. And see, he and some of his friends came to the table. One of them had a girlfriend. And so when they saw me, it was three of us, so they all were pushing, trying to see who could get close. But anyway, this one, they already had a girlfriend, and his girlfriend was, he was just a flirt. And I thought I was doing something, and he had the car. we would get go to hustle in the car and stop the car and get out, stop the car now, buy the music, get out on the highway and dance. The cars are just that scared. As the cars are scared, about 2 million cars in.
Not everybody had one.
No, very few people had one. And so I was teaching, I said, I believe that's what got me the car. And I was teaching, so he married me to help him pay for the car.
I see. Well, he get it paid off by the time he left?
No, he went in service 6 months after we married.
And
he stayed there for 4 years, and then when he came out, he went to New York to take some kind of trade, giant something, I don't know. But anyway, he stayed there for a while, and then when he came back, we weren't married too long before. You know, he passed the test, and he was the first black male carrier in the game. And it didn't last long. He took up with the white lady. That's what caused the separation. It was just a bad situation. I was at school up at A&M. I would come home on the weekend, on Friday, and it happened on a Thursday. And I had the car up. We had a car. But anyway. He left town and went to Chicago and got on the police force, and she finally left town. They got married. I was just at A&M during the summers. See, I finished 2 years at Alabama State before I started teaching. You could teach there after 2 years.
And did Mr. Hurston have something to do with you going
Mr.
to A&M?
Hurston, yeah, he was responsible for me going to college. He was responsible for me going to college at Alabama State. He was a principal, and he was determined that I was going to do something. And he put my brother's age up. My brother was 2 years behind me, and he put his age up and put him in the camp. See, they called it the CC camp back then. And my brother stayed in there for 2 years, and I received a check for $25.
He sent you money for your tuition at A&M.
Yeah, I would get that in the mail for the 2 years I was there. And that helped me. See, I paid two-thirds of my way and worked the other part or something.
Well, that's a good brother right there.
Yeah, he was. He was all like, when I would tell him I needed a pair of shoes, he would buy them and get the money for someone. And he never did finish high school because the kids in was wearing patches, the pants had holes. You're like, these children not tearing their pants. When my brother couldn't do it, your grandma patched and put patches on.
Yes.
You never did see any patches, did you?
No, never.
The children had patches where these children are, just taking their fingers and tearing off and leaving it open to grandma patching them. He got tired of going to school with patches, and so he started home. He got on a freight train and left it there for a better life, so he was left town. And that was in. But anyway, I was certified then after 2 years of teach. He saw that I was, could make it.
And you taught in Moulton?
My first job was in Moulton for 3 years. I got married. The fellow wasn't from Moulton in America. And it was just a quick thing. I did something that I didn't need to do. I told you that car excited me. Young and no one, to tell you what to do. I thought I had done something.
And so you were a teacher for 57 years, is that right?
That's a total. I've taught school for so many years and substituted for 20. I taught for 30-something and substituted for 20 years.
And when you retired, you were teaching at the elementary school, is that right?
Yeah, that's the only school I taught. I was just certified to teach in the elementary school.
And you said that's the building you went to high school in?
Huh?
That was the same building that you went to high school in?
No, it wasn't a building. You knew it wasn't a building. It couldn't have been a building.
It wasn't a building.
You don't know that building. How many buildings did we change? It had it all. that building, you know, the shack had a lot of buildings, but, you know, they changed the name. The Decatur Negro High School, and then it went on to got the Cherokee School. When they moved to Cherokee, the school changed a lot of times, the name of the school.
And now where the Leon Sheffield.
But when I finished, it was the Decatur Negro High. They separated it from the
Decatur Negro High School.
That started off with that, they had all the grades.
So when you retired, that was after integration. So you taught during segregation.
I was still teaching when they integrated. I was on my way out though, but yet it's still when they came around. You know, they collected so many, you know, from the school that I was teaching to go to the white school. They picked them, the principal and the supervisor, the elementary supervisor, who they wanted to go. You know, like two teachers from the first grade was set, two from each, you know, as they saw fit.
And so did you have black and white students in your classroom by the time you retired?
No, I never did. Mine was still black. But when I started substituting, that's when I was with them, when they were mixed.
Okay, and you were a substitute teacher
for 20 years.
Right before you retired. That was the last thing you did.
Yeah, at the end.
And what can you tell me about the black schools that you taught at, like, before integration?
Ooh.
I mean, in terms of how different they were from white schools.
Oh, so different than day and night.
In terms of the facilities and in terms of...
Facilities, I think they gave the black school one roll of toilet paper a month.
Goodness. And I'm sure that was just one of many things.
You know it was different, yeah, and the books without the, you know, everything was different, yeah.
And so what did you do about the books? Were they just handed down from one year?
Yeah, handed down, you know, the blacks would be handed down, and we did the best we could to what we had.
And did that change after integration?
I was out of it then.
You were out of it then. You were already looking at retirement, huh?
I had already retired. You know, I retired before integration. But No, I didn't. I take that back. No, I didn't. Because they were afraid that they were gonna get her because, you know, she's lighter. You know, just this one or that. And she's this and this. And they didn't do it that way.
Well, I saw a newspaper article from a few years ago where one of your students said that they called you Aunt Etta. Is that true?
Yes, uh-huh.
They called you that to your face?
No, they couldn't do it in school. You know Michelle King, the one on the Board of Education?
I don't.
You haven't met her yet. She's on the Board of Education, and that's my niece. At least, her dad is my first cousin. But they called him, but we were reared in the same house. Her daddy was we had the same grandmother.
And so she called you Aunt Etta.
Yeah, she still calls me Aunt Etta.
But it caught on with some of the other kids.
Yeah, so the other kids, and her sister was in my room when the sister was in my room. And I told her, I said, you got to call me Mrs. Freeman. You can't say Aunt Etta, because the other children wanted to call me Aunt Etta, too.
That's against the rules, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like sometimes maybe you bent the rules a little, because that same article I read, there was a student that said, I think you were serious when it's time to be serious, but you also knew when to make school fun. You know, it sounds like you were a fun teacher.
I was a fun teacher. Yeah, I had a machine over at the machine, and I was so... And, you know, if they didn't look at your presentable and all, then I'd pick them in the janitor's room and, you know, give them a little wash over, do something to the hair. And the way they're doing their hair now, you know, I didn't approve of it, still don't. All these little braids and all that, I wanted to look, be neat and nice. But now it's a style now to see how ugly it can look.
So you were kind of a like a mother to your
a
students.
A mother, yes, sir. I would take them in there and wash them. And a lot of would sew all their clothes, and I have them taking naps back on the floor and all, Lord, just like a baby. I'd have to wash them up. I had to change the clothes for them all the way to school.
Well,
I started teaching in Decatur when my baby was 6 months old. The rules was that when the principal came over to the house, he said he needed a teacher. And he said, Mr. Alverson was the superintendent. He said, now, maybe you'll get the job, and I don't know if the baby really supposed to be a year old. But mine was 6 months old, but the superintendent gave me the job. My grandmother lived right in front of the school, and I was breastfeeding, and he said, you can go over to the house and feed your baby, you know, when it's necessary.
But normally they just wouldn't let you teach.
No, and I wasn't supposed to, but he went against it after talking, you know. He said, well, I'm going to give you the job. You're not supposed to. He said, but my biggest thing, he said, the welfare of the child. But this is like it is. Everything is good.
He bent the rules for you a little bit.
He did for a whole lot. Yeah, he did.
I was going to ask you earlier, this is the one thing that I think I hadn't asked, is about where you taught in Moulton.
What school was that?
Was it a Rosenwald school?
That's the name of it, yeah, Rosenwald. That's what they call it. It was a public owner one had for blacks.
And so that would have been in the 1940s, maybe.
In 1940 to 43, that's when I went out there in 40. And I came away from out there in 43. I was only out there not 3 years. I just owned that 2 years. But at one year, I had 67 in my class. 67 fifth and sixth graders.
Oh, my
goodness.
My
room was in the auditorium. You know how this old school? No, you don't know. I was in the auditorium. That was my room.
Because you had so many students, that's the only classroom you could use.
That's the only one they had. Had that I could use. Just the other first and second and third, you know, the other little rooms at the school. That was the auditorium, and that was my room. I was assigned there, and I had 67 students. Young ladies, they were young men. And I said, now, if you come in here tomorrow, then I'm going to whip you. And I had a switch. I had a switch in my And so he just said, he just smiled and said, and then the next day he came in late. Yeah. I had to switch. I called myself whipping. They laughed at me. I was whipping. I told him, if you come in here late tomorrow, they were about as old as they were bigger than me. You know, bigger than I was at all. And so it was fun to them. But they were nice. I didn't have any problems out of them.
Well, if you got that many students, I mean, there's only one way you can.
They were nice. You didn't have no problem much, you know. Someone, you know, I guess you'll see how far you could go. So it would be a little late.
But most of them were
they gave
were
they
better.
Were really respectful. I never had any, you know.
Still, boy, that's a lot of students.
There was too many, you know, I couldn't do anything, but I did the best I could.
So in some cases, though, if you taught for 57 years, I'm thinking you would have had students that you taught their parents and possibly their grandparents.
A lot of it passed since Miss Lynn. The day I was in the store, and there was some that I taught. They said, Miss Lynn, you remember? I said, oh, yes. And the one said, oh, so she remembers everything.
Well, Ms. Freeman, I'd say that you earned your park. Did you get to pick where they put your park?
No, I didn't even know that the thing was in the making until the day that they were dedicated in Billy Jackson. You know, Billy? The councilman, Billy Jackson.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. I know of him.
He came down to the house. I didn't go to the center that particular day. I said, I'm going to stay home. I don't know what we... And he came around. He said, Miss Freeman, you got to go. He said, we dedicate the party. I said, what? No one had said anything, so I finally got up and went on up there. Didn't know it was in the making. I'm naming it.
So it was a surprise.
It was really a surprise to me.
Was it a nice surprise, at least?
It didn't make me any difference. It did, if I'm like this, it didn't make me a bit of difference.
It's a pretty little park. I hadn't actually been there until the last time I was in Decatur when me and Peggy saw you walking down the street.
Well, you and Peggy passed in that truck. You passed my house.
We did.
I went out to the mailbox and I saw Peggy looking. And I said, "Who is that?" And so I went out to the mailbox and then they looked and I saw Peggy and she turned around and I walked up the street there and talked to you.
You know, it's funny because I asked her if she thought you might want to talk, and she said that she wasn't sure that you would want to talk. And then
I didn't want to talk over with Mike or anything, but I don't mind talking we're talking now.
I'm that way too. If it's a big group, it's a totally different story. But
well, you keep on doing what you're doing. Now you're too young. When I was coming along, I didn't have anybody to tell me anything. I'm encouraging you now. You keep on, and you will get into it. And you just start going out there and talking the way you do and do it.
Well, thank you,
Miss Green. You talk like you have been out there. Now just keep on doing it. Because I've been there. And I told you, now don't you give up. You too young. Well, see, I never had anyone to, talk to me like this.
Well, I'm glad I didn't give up.
Give up now. You got a long way to go, and you're doing good. You're doing very good.
Well, thank you, Ms. Freeman, and thank you so much for taking the time to answer questions.
Yeah, and if you had errors in there, now you just, fix it up nice. It'll sort of sound nice. And if I could help you out in a way, you let me know.
Well, I appreciate it. I did have one more question I was going to ask you. I know Abraham would love to meet you, and I know that he would love to get a picture of you if you're not camera shy.
I can stand it shy. I'm old now. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Not the pictures.
Well, if you're not...
You don't find anybody. 103, can move about now. You go to the store. I drive up to the center now in the morning.
Miss Freeman, we take a picture of you and tell people you're 103. People wouldn't believe us.
No, they're lying. I don't believe it that you lied. I said, no, I'm not.
Do you carry your birth certificate?
I live in this house by myself, and I'm doing everything.
Do you carry your birth certificate around to prove?
I have it with my driver's license. I can drive. She can drive up to the school, up to the center, to up to the school. Ways I could go up, LaFayette Street. That's the street I used to live on. And then either buy and make one turn, and I'm right at the center. By three blocks.
And so you still go up there?
Go up there every day and play cards with students, the old ladies and men that I taught in the first grade. And some of them in worse condition than I am. The bones old and hard to get up and down, but I'm helping them. They say.
Are you still teaching them things too?
teaching? No. They wouldn't listen to me now.
They wouldn't?
Yeah, they didn't listen to me now. I had to tell them, but they were talking. I said, remember where you are? I said, don't talk about anybody, no other family but your own. I said, if you're going to talk about anybody, talk about your own family.
Talk about your own
and
people.
And leave other families alone.
That's very fair.
Yeah, I said, don't do that.
What did they say? Get your own house.
They ain't that bad, but they stopped talking. I said, don't do that. Don't do it in here. I said, get out, go and talk about your own family if you have anything to tell.
And they say, yes, ma'am, right?
No, they don't say yes, ma'am. No, most of them, they don't say yes, ma'am. They say yes and no. And then some of them call me out. They say, they say I cheated on the game. I do, you know, playing cards. I was big and all, so I'm not on that level now. I'm on that level now. See, I'm a cheater, and I do cheat. Yeah, poor, that's a part of it. And some of them, you know, hard to get along, and I have to call them. And I talk and talk until I get a laugh. And I said, nah, I've got a laugh. Giving you a laugh. Now, goodbye.
Well, you've given me quite a few laughs today.
That's what it takes. And that's what you know, try to talk pleasant and all, for people to laugh, you know.
You have to find joy in things.
Yeah, that's what you need, joy. Yeah, you know, make people happy. Some people don't have anybody to talk to or anything, you know. And then they're mad all the time, mad with the world.
Well, I guess there's been a lot to be mad about.
You're just trying to help it every way you can. I wonder why everybody my age, all these houses around here, everybody dead, and I'm the only one living. And all of the lot that I taught in the first grade have died. Oh, so many.
And you've seen them come and go.
Yes, Lord, I mean gone.
And talk about the world changing.
It's so many changes. All everybody, talk about Mother's Day. I had one son, and he passed away. And he had five children. Three wives. Now, he had three wives.
So you have five grandchildren.
Yeah, but they don't live here. No, any of them live here.
Do you ever see them?
Yeah, they come to see me.
Well, I guess nobody's really traveling as much as they used to.
My daughter-in-law is here. Billy Jackson's sister was married to my son. And she's building a house. That house next to mine. Did you see? You remember seeing a house next to mine going up?
I do. They were building it time before last when I visited. And
yeah, but
she
hadn't completed it yet. She's still...
She hadn't moved in yet.
Oh, no. It'll be some time before she moves in.
And that house is...
She's the only closest thing to me around here. She helps me. And helps her mother, but her mother's in worse shape than her mother's in her 80s. And she has to go and help her mama get dressed, and take her to the doctor and do everything for her. But her mama, I mean, she has four brothers here, you know.
Four brothers.
Four brothers live right around next door to her mama. Two of them live, and one of them is a funeral home down there in Town Creek. Have you ever heard about Jackson Funeral Memory in Town Creek?
In Town Creek? No, ma'am.
It's a beautiful place, the prettiest one that you've seen.
Well, I'm going to make myself a note so I can remember next time I'm in Town Creek.
Town Creek, you ask for Jackson Memory. You ask for Jackson to get the black funeral home. If you can't remember, just say the black one. It's right off the highway.
Well, I'm gonna be coming back to Alabama a little bit more often now, I guess. And so,
Alabama.
I see. I'm from Florence, but I guess
Florence,
I didn't.
Look, Florence is in Alabama now. Don't say Alabama no more.
Well, I have to because I am calling you from Mississippi. That's where I live now. So it's the other state to me now.
Why are you in Mississippi?
I live here with my wife. We work at Ole Miss.
Oh, you live in Mississippi. Oh, you're from Florence, from Alabama.
Yeah, from Florence.
Yeah, you're living in Mississippi now.
Yeah, all my people are in Alabama, but my wife and I live here.
You must be thinking they're going to take your job away from you because they, you know, talk about people living in the city where you about these jobs. don't you tell nobody you in Mississippi, they might not. How did you get this job?
Well, I tell you, this is my real job here. I call that my real job at Ole Miss, and then
Ole Miss is your real job. What do you do there?
I work in the library.
Oh, and this is just a little side. But I tell you to keep going and don't you give up on that. You just get up and talk.
I won't, Miss Freeman.
Don't you have it. You're too young. You just keep going.
I'm feeling inspired today.
You're doing sure. Good. You are doing good.
Now that I've talked to you, thank you so much. And I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Okay. Anytime. Okay.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.